This morning is kind of a little combination thing. It's a little bit mission report. Praise FM is one of the missions that our church has been supporting for a number of years. I know a lot of you have been blessed by Praise FM. The last year or so, I've been privileged to serve on the board of Praise FM, so I've gotten to know a little bit more what's going on. And Mark Herringshaw is with us this morning, and tell you a little bit about him. I don't know a lot officially, but I'll make up stuff, and then if it's really wrong, he'll correct it. Otherwise, he'll just let it fly. But Mark has been a pastor for quite a few years. His last church he served was North Heights in Minneapolis. And he joined Praise FM, I'm going to say, I don't know the exact date, but about a year and a half ago. And he and his wife, Jill, have about a year ago moved up to the Alexandria Osakis area. So when you hear Mark, he's actually, you know, it's kind of nice to know where he's coming from. He's actually coming from Osakis. But one of the things Mark is, and the Praise FM board has wanted is for some of the announcers and the people involved with Praise FM to get out and meet the churches, because they want to get out and meet the churches so they can know who you are and minister to you. You know, I don't know what it's like on the radio side where you, well, I guess I've done that once or twice, where you're talking in a microphone, you have no idea who you're talking to. Now, and a lot of you hear these guys on the radio, and I'm sure, you know, if you've heard people on the radio for a long time, you know, you have this image in your head of what they look like. Paul Ramos said, you know, he meets somebody, he says, you don't look like anything like you sound like. So today is your opportunity to get to meet Mark in person, see who he is, hear from his heart. He can maybe tell you just a little bit about what's going on in the ministry, and then he's bringing our message, so we get the full load from him. So Mark also has his wife Jill along. Jill actually works in the office at the station in Osakis, so some of you, too, if you've called up there, you know, you say this, hi, this is Jill thing, and you kind of get that image. So you actually get to meet them today. So I think after the service, hopefully they'll be in the back, and you can shake their hands so they actually get to know you. So they know, because they like, you know, for them to be able to know, they're not just talking to a microphone, they're not just talking to people out there, but they know individual people and faces that they get to minister to every day. Because it's been an incredible blessing for my life for the last, I don't know, you know, 20 years. Well, we've had Christian radio station in this area since 83-ish. Jill wouldn't be able to know exactly. Yeah, 83. Fall of 83 is when we first got Christian radio in this area. So it's a blessing. I think I tend to take it for granted. It went off air just a few days this spring. Got back on. If your prayer, I encourage you to pray the next week or 10 days, because hopefully there'll be a repair crew back up there to get that back up to full power. It's not been on full power, but will be briefly. So that's kind of your prayer request from the mission report today. So with that, I will turn it over to Mark. Or I guess Jill is going to bless us with a number first. So,
Jesus had incredible words to give us, incredible promises. He says in John 14, peace I give to you, my peace I leave with you. Let's just let that peace soak in today. I don't know if you're like me, but peace is not my default. My default is worry and fear and stress. So let's just take a moment and just let the peace of Christ rule here in our hearts.
Peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give peace to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be afraid. Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give peace to you. Just to take him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the safe Lord.
Sing with me.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend, and I know that Thou art with me, will be with me too. Jesus, how I trust Him, how I approved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him.
And it was right in the middle of the storm when Jesus stood and He said three words: peace, be still. Thank you, Jesus, that in the middle of whatever we are going through, You still say those words. And right here in this place, far, far away from a geographic standpoint and long, long away from a time standpoint, You're still here and You're still saying those words. Peace, be still. And we trust You. Yes? It's good, isn't it? It's very good for us to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us. Just a delight to be part of what's happening here through what we get to do with Praise FM. You sang that song earlier. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. That takes me back to a long time ago. How many of you remember that, like way back in your childhood years? It's really the heart of God right now. And the thing that we see as we touch what's happening, not just all over this region, but really in many ways around the world, the theme of what God is up to right now is family. He's really raising up the church as family. And so in many ways, the things that are happening inherently and indigenously in the smaller communities around the country, because you already know how to do family and you already know how to do church as family, there's a real blessing of God right now in that whole area. So sing a song like that, and then to see you operating like that this morning and sharing your stories with each other, it's just extended family. And that's really where the Lord is really blessing right now, is so much in that area. So just keep it up. It's you have words like the Lord really blessing your church, like we heard today. It'll happen because you're family. Because that's what the world is so hungry for. As the society begins to fragment, everyone's going to be looking for family. And this is where they'll find it. So just keep digging in with that. It's a good thing. It's just really good to be with you. What we do at Praise FM, And for you, it comes out as 101.5. We have three different primary stations up here in this area, in Wilmer and Osakis, and then the tower that we have in Summit. And our purpose, we also have a extension down in the Twin Cities as well, and then some translator stations that get us into some smaller areas. But what we really try to do in our ministry is to be a bridge point from the family gathering points on Sunday morning. Some places meet on Saturday night. Sometimes churches get together on Wednesday nights. And the bridge point from these times when we get together face-to-face, we're off living our lives, we're driving in our cars and cooking dinner and in your tractors, all the different things that involve the everyday areas of your life. What we're trying to do at Praise FM is just help the local church bridge the points when we aren't together and we're in the middle of our day. So we get these little windows into people's day. So I don't know what your listening habits are, but you probably shift between different stations and we do shift between different stations. You don't listen to Praise FM all the time, I'm sure about that. We actually, as we've looked at our research, we get 7 to 10 minute chunks with people. Sometimes people are playing the radio constantly, but they're focused in little snippets. So very seldom does somebody sit in front of the radio like they used to, 50 years ago and just listen. It's not like quite like that. So we get these little moments into people's day. And what we're trying to do is just keep that constant focus. Hey, remember the Word of God. Remember Jesus' love. Remember to be focused through the middle of your day. So we get a privilege of kind of helping the church when the church isn't gathered to still be the church. And that's really what our heart is. So it's a real honor for us to be here and to touch, actually get to see some of the faces that we have to imagine. With me, I'm brand new at radio. Actually, I was a pastor for about 25 years and kind of indirectly started connected with Praise FM because I was really fascinated with this idea of how do we stay connected in a discipleship basis when we're not meeting together. There's a real heart, I think, happening around the country for that. And so I was real fascinated by that and kind of came in the door with one little foot into Praise FM and then ended up with the invitation to come up here. And we're just really thrilled about that. Jill and I came up last September, and we live in Alexandria, and we love being in outstate Minnesota. It's just we love it. And we go back to the cities and we sit in traffic and we think, Mike, we are so glad we are where we are. We really are. And I know you're all nodding your heads because you probably know that. But it's a heart for us to get into places like this, and we're trying to do this a little bit more and get out and see the faces of those that get to worship with us. And one of the things that we want to do is to begin to build a sense of personal connection. Because they told me when I started radio, I don't know, maybe you remember this, Paul, but I had a real hard time imagining, like, what's on the other side of this microphone that's right in front of me. And so the guy that began to kind of coach me in this said, just imagine you're sitting next to somebody in a car and you're talking. So that's a real step for me because I'm used to speaking in different contexts like this. But to actually make it a personal thing is really what it's about. So we're trying to really do that at Praise FM and create that sense of personal connection. As Jeff mentioned, our tower and Summit, KCGN, we had some ice damage during the ice storms that we had in the spring. And so we've been really struggling with that. Some of you may have been having a little bit of difficulty getting our signal like we had it before. That's because with that ice damage, we had to, in a real quick way, when we finally could get up there because of the ice, put up a temporary antenna. So we're functioning right now on a temporary antenna, a backup antenna on that tower. And the crews who can actually help us fix that permanently are backed up because there was so much damage in radio all over the Midwest in the spring. Just there's lots of towers that had trouble because of the weather. So in the next couple of weeks, we're on the docket. We were like in a line of several radio stations, and they're finally ready to get up there, the team that we work with. So we're praying that we're going to get this back up to speed and back up to power here in the next couple of weeks. And so excited about that. Speaking of weather, and I do want to actually talk about this today, in Minnesota and South Dakota, what else do we have to talk about, right? I mean, it's... We were driving down today from Alexandria and came down through Starbuck or through Glenwood first and then into Starbuck and some real, real tough situations there. Starbuck is just a mess this morning. You can really pray for those folks. A lot of trees down. There's one of the roads we looked at just as we were driving by, looked up and it's just completely washed out. It's like a river right down through the middle of that street. So you can really pray for those folks up there. Glenwood, lots of flooding in the fields, looked out, and in some cases just, you know, dozens of acres just covered in water still. So we really keep those folks in prayer. I want to actually build off of that and talk a little bit about the theme of weather, because it affects our lives personally, and it's a big theme in Scripture. If you have your Bibles, come with me to the book of Mark. Who shared about the groom's dinner here? Yeah. You guys were kind of living through that storm. We had a big storm, of course, up where we were, same storm that you guys dealt with. And Osakis, where our station is based, we were out of power for 24, 36 hours, something like that. So we were actually on backup power at the station. We have a generator that kicks on when the power goes out. So it was a big deal. But there's always an answer in the middle of the storm. Yes? This is Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. So come with me, if you would, to look at this. We're going to study this for just a bit and then see what application we'd have out of this. Mark's Gospel is one of the first three books in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it was very likely the first of those books written. So Mark, who was a colleague originally of Paul and Barnabas, then he had a little issue with that first missionary trip and went home, and Barnabas later comes alongside him and restores him back to his ministry. And Mark becomes later, he becomes a colleague of Peter's. And he documented Peter's preaching. And most people who study this stuff believe that Mark's gospel is Mark's documentation of Peter's preaching about Jesus. And he was the first one to really document the story of Jesus from the beginning of his ministry to the end. And later on, Matthew picks it up and says, well, Mark kind of left some things out, and I'll add some things in from a Jewish perspective. And Mark's written for Jewish Christians to see a little more clearly that Jesus is the fulfillment of their Old Testament promises. Luke picks it up and says, well, I'm going to write this from the Greek's perspective and kind of fill it in from an understanding of Greek education. Luke's a very educated doctor, physician, and so he's writing the story of Jesus from that perspective. And Mark really is the one that sets the precedent for this. So he's really interested, Mark is really interested in the action of Jesus, like what Jesus does. And if you have a red letter Bible, you'll note that Mark has fewer red letters than Matthew and Luke. Matthew and Luke have lots of Jesus teaching, a lot of his parables, and Mark has some of that, but for the most part, there's lots of action items in Mark. He's really concerned with these short little snippets of what Jesus did. And I want to read one of those today, one of these short little comments of a very focused event. And Mark just has these little descriptions, and they're poignant, and they're powerful, and they apply to our lives. So, in chapter 4, it begins in verse 35, the story that we'll look at here. It's just 35 through 41, just very short. And here's how Mark describes this. That day when evening came. Now that day, if you look back up, Jesus has just been doing some teaching. If you got a red letter Bible, there's a few red words in there. And he's been teaching in parables. Jesus taught often in the pictures that people live their lives. So in chapter 4 earlier here, it's about sowing and reaping. You understand that in this area? About sowing and reaping? And about the investment that a farmer has to make, putting the seed in the ground, and then it's like, what's going to happen? And if you've all lived your life, I'm sure you understand that, whether you're a farmer or not living in this area, you understand that sowing and reaping principle. It's all right here in the early part of this chapter. Several little stories Mark notes about the principle of sowing and reaping. So then it says, that same day when evening came, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. The other side being the other side of the Lake of Galilee, or we sometimes call it the Sea of Galilee. In Israel, Israel's a really small geographic area. Anybody been to Israel in here? I actually haven't, but you've been to Israel. Wonderful. It's not very big, is it? You kind of think this nation of Israel, it's really, really small. No more than probably 150 miles north to south and 60 to 70 miles east to west. It's really not very big. And there's two main water bodies in Israel. There's this lake. It's a clear freshwater lake up in the north. And a river runs out of that lake called the River Jordan, where John baptized in the River Jordan. And Jordan was the dividing line when the children of Israel came out of the desert into their land. And at the bottom of that lake, or bottom of that river, is another lake that's well below sea level. It's actually the lowest place on the earth below sea level, called the Dead Sea. And it's called the Dead Sea because nothing grows in it, because in that river flowing from the north down to the south picks up all kinds of sediment and minerals, and those minerals deposit in that Dead Sea, and over the centuries, it's all built up. It's very salty and alkaline, and nothing can live in the Dead Sea. Well, that northern lake is the Lake of Galilee, very beautiful, very rich with fish and a lot of agriculture today, a lot of agriculture around that area up around the Galilee, they call it. Jesus' ministry was concentrated around the Lake Galilee, and his disciples were from a town, many of them called Capernaum, which is up in the north. And a lot of this takes place in, a lot of ministry of Jesus takes place around this lake and in the agricultural areas around that. So he's saying, after this time of ministry, he's saying, let's go over to the other side. So they get in a boat, and at least four of his disciples are fishermen. So they get this idea of getting in boats and traveling by boat across this lake. They did it for a living. So he says, let's go to the other side. So leaving the crowd behind, and Jesus did that sometimes. There were times he saw he had a limit to his own physical energy and his physical time, because he was God, but he also was a human being. And he's tired at this point. We'll find out in a minute. He's so tired, he just goes to sleep in the boat. And we have to think, you know, Jesus was a human being, and what he did as God, having laid down the rights of being every place at every time with infinite energy, and put himself literally into human form. So he leaves the crowd behind. They took Jesus along with them just as he was. I find that interesting. What an interesting phrase. Let's take Jesus just as he is. It's a good idea, don't you think? Let's not change him. Let's just take him as he is. There were other boats with them also. So they get into the boat. A furious squall or storm came up. The waves broke over the boat so that they were nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, he rebuked the wind, and he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Or peace is another translation. Any of your Bibles say peace? Be still. The wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still not have any faith?" And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Now, it was common in that area, because there's kind of mountains that surround this lake, hills and mountains. It was quite common for storms to come out and sweep over the lake. And any of you have maybe been on a lake in a boat when a thunderstorm comes over? It's a little bit spooky, because you're pretty vulnerable when you're out there, right, with the lightning and the winds. And in this case, this was such a violent storm that it even frightened Jesus' disciples, who made their living on the lake. So this wasn't just your run-of-the-mill, like a little storm that comes over. This was a pretty violent tempest. And Jesus is asleep in the boat, which is telling you what? What do you think that says? Yes, he was a pretty sound sleeper. He was pretty tired, which may well be true, but he's also just, he's confident. And you see this with Jesus. Do you ever see Jesus panic? Ever? There are times when Jesus gets distressed. There's times he gets angry. He has emotion. Because God has emotion, we know that. You can look in the Old Testament and see lots of different feelings expressed by God. And Jesus was also a human being. So he does have feelings. But you never in all of that see Jesus panic. He just doesn't. Because he knows who he is. He knows the relationship that he has with his Father. And he can walk through whatever situation with a kind of collective calm of knowing the authority that his Father's given him. So here he is. He's able to sleep in the midst of this storm. The disciples are not so at peace, are they? A little bit like us. I think I can easily see myself saying, okay, come on, Jesus, get up here. Do something about this. You made this stuff. You made the atoms that are bouncing around in these storms right now. Do something about this. So they wake him up. And what does he do? Let's look at this carefully. What does he do? It says he rebuked the wind. Now, rebuke is, it's like a stern correction, right? And so he's speaking to what at this point? Who's Jesus talking to? He's talking to nature, right? And he says, it says he rebuked it, and he said to the waves and the wind three words, peace, be still. And then the nature obeyed him. Now, if you think back to the first page of the Bible and how God created the wind and the waves and everything else that's a part of the natural world and who that was doing it, the book of Colossians says that all of creation is held together by Jesus' word, and that God the Father actually created through God the Son. That's the passage in Colossians chapter 1. So every atom was there at the moment of creation, right? We know that from science, that these things that are created pieces of matter and energy have always been there from the day of creation, one. And so every piece of matter and energy remembers the voice of God. Let there be, and there is. Let there be light. Let there be water. Let there be the land. Let there be the trees. Let there be elephants and anteaters and chipmunks and each of us. And how did God do that? He did that through his words, right? The Spirit of the Lord hovered over what wasn't creation yet. And God said, let there be, and there was. So that word be is really important. Be means it is. Let it exist. And so God said, let, and then whatever it was he was creating at that particular moment, let that exist. And it was. And the power of that word be in the mouth of God is unbelievably potent. Well, Jesus is doing it again right here because he says, peace, and then he uses the word be. Be still. And it was. And every one of those atoms that remembered that it was called into being by the voice of Jesus from eternity past when creation began, remembered his voice, and it obeyed. And it was still, because that's what it was told to do. Every atom was told to be still. And it became still because nature obeys the voice of God. Isn't that beautiful? and nature still will obey the voice of God. Perfectly? Not yet. Because we now live in a world that has been torn from its moorings by the fall of human beings. We know from Genesis chapter 3 that when human beings fell out of relationship with God, then creation also fell and stumbled its way, not because of the sin inherent in nature itself, but because we as human beings are supposed to be the stewards of creation, turned away from God. And so we now live in a natural world that is a bit out of order. And we see the results in things like storms that are crazy and uncontrollable, and drought one year and flood the next. And you can look around and see that the natural world is not all it's supposed to be, correct? And yet Jesus came, among many things, to bring salvation, not only to souls, but to bring salvation to the parts of the created world that were out of order. So Jesus' ministry of healing was about setting some things back into order in the natural world. And almost every page of the Gospels, you'll see Jesus fixing something that's broken. In some cases, it's somebody's eyes that don't work, or their legs that don't work, or a relationship that's out of whack, or a piece of nature that's not functioning as it should. And the coming of the kingdom of God, as we see it in the New Testament, is the coming of order back to what God created. And he wants to bring things back into order as he originally intended them. And he still is in that business. And as his followers, so are we. So are we. We're still in the business of working with him to put things back into order. The word peace in that passage here, peace be still, it's a, in the Hebrew, now we have the New Testament written in Greek. Jesus likely spoke in a language called Aramaic, which is very similar to the Old Testament Hebrew that the Old Testament's written in. And that word peace, does anybody know what the Hebrew word for peace is? It's still used in shalom. You'll hear that greeting from Jewish people, shalom. Shalom as peace doesn't simply mean the absence of conflict or not fighting. Peace means, from a true Hebrew perspective, everything is in order. There's nothing out of order. There's nothing broken. There's nothing missing. It's everything back in its order. It's your garage after spring cleaning. Right? It's order. And Jesus came to put everything back in its slot, everything back in order. Whether it was somebody's broken body or a broken relationship or someone's need for financial provision or food, everything, life back in order. God wants our lives to work. Jesus said, I came that you'd have life, that you'd have it abundantly. And he wants our lives to work. The reality is we live with storms, though, don't we? I mean, we have this promise on the one side of what God came to do with his kingdom, and then the reality of our lives is that we are out in the boat. Jesus is with us in the boat. He's with us in our life, and we're still subject to storms. Right? Anybody living a stormless life? No. Even though we're walking with Jesus, there's no promise that we're not going to go through a storm. Right? You're going to go through them. It's really clear that that's the reality of where we live. And your storm might be a health issue or a financial issue, might be an internal lack of peace, might be a relationship tension. Our family right now is going through really difficult storm, our extended family, through a series of tensions that have kind of grown out of my father's passing just a few years ago. And it's kind of caused this cascade of upheaval in our extended family. It's a storm. And there's no guarantee. Well, just because I'm a follower of Jesus and he's in my boat with me, I'm not going to go through a storm. The promise is that I go through the storm, Jesus is in my boat, and the outcome out of that is that God wants to use this circumstance as an opportunity to settle matters and bring things to peace. And he wants to do that in your life too. So it's good to identify what the storm is that we're facing. Remember that Jesus is with us. And then use that as an opportunity to borrow his words. Do you know that we get to do that? We get to borrow Jesus' words. Why? Because we're with him. We are, in fact, is anybody here, would you call yourself a Christian? Right, most of us, if we talk about our identity, we are followers of Jesus. Christian means, literally, when the first believers were called Christians, they're little Christs. Now, that doesn't mean we are Jesus. We're not Jesus Christ. That's not what it's saying. It's saying we are little followers of the one Jesus Christ. Which means that, and to be a disciple means we get to do exactly what he did. That's what it means to follow in his footsteps. So, if any of us stood out in the middle of the storm the other night and said, I'm Mark, and I tell you, peace be still. Is he going to listen to me? Absolutely not. If Jesus was actually here and he wanted to calm that storm, he could absolutely do it, right? Well, whatever storm you're going through, you don't have an inherent authority in your life to settle it down. In fact, we yell and scream and jump up and down at the storms in our life all the time. And does it stop them? No. But Jesus, his words actually do have authority to make a difference. And whatever storm you're going through right now, borrow those three words. Peace be still. And just speak to them, to that circumstance, and let God's peace begin to settle. Now, we have to hasten to say that that doesn't always mean that there's always a literal, immediate, instant fixing of problems, does it? Sometimes the peace be still happens first in us. Like the settling has to happen in our own hearts or in our relationships. So we pray for something, and sometimes the answer echoes around and comes back in not what we always expect. What we can be certain is that there's authority and power in those words, peace be still. And God will make a difference. He will. And that's what we get to actually try as his followers. So let's go right back to where we were at the beginning. In fact, Jill, if you'd come. We just started by just saying those three words. And I just prayed that on behalf of Jesus. Just kind of borrowed his words and prayed that for you. And I would say the same thing right now. Let's just get into a place where if you're going through a storm, it might be a great big one. It might be just a little squall, nothing too traumatic. We'll borrow Jesus' words right now and we'll say, Shalom. Let everything be as it's supposed to be. Be still. It's a real privilege to be able to minister that on Jesus' behalf. Jesus, we do thank you that we are not alone at whatever we face. Your word has power. Not because of who we are, but because your word has power. You are your word. Thank you that your words in our mouths are just like your words in your mouth. Because it's not us, it's the power of your word and your spirit. So on behalf of you and the authority that you've given to us as your followers, we just echo those words right now. Now I'm going to ask you to do a bold thing. Turn to the person next to you and just say those three words on behalf of Jesus to them. Peace, be still. Aaron teaches this blessing to the people of God from the book of Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. Shalom. Peace.